Amen. Glory to God. Okay, tonight we're going to be talking about success in ministry. Say success. Say success in ministry. Glory to God. One fella said this. He said, success is measured by how high you bounce when you hit the bottom. Success is measured by how high you bounce when you hit the bottom. I was thinking about that, you know, over the last 24 hours. I was thinking, you know, if you were to apply that to Jesus' life and ministry, then it would certainly hold true. Because Jesus' personal ministry on this earth ended on a cruel cross. As he was crucified as a common criminal between two thieves. His ministry ended as he died an excruciatingly painful death and then was taken down from that cross and buried in a borrowed tomb. You could say that to all outward appearances he had hit rock bottom. But as the other guy said, that was Friday, but Sunday was a-coming. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Who knows that very early, it says on the Sunday morning, Jesus was raised from the dead by the power of God, and around 40 days later, he ascended into heaven and sat down at the right hand of his Father to reign as Lord over all the earth. And who knows that he presently has a church on the earth with over 2 billion members who call him Lord. It's fair to say that's quite a bounce. If success is measured by how high you bounce when you hit the bottom, then Jesus is the king of the bounce. The king of the bouncers. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, one father said, or put it this way in a sermon back in 1922 titled One Solitary Life. He said this, here is a man who was born in an obscure village, speaking about Jesus, the child of a peasant woman. He grew up in another village. He worked in a carpenter shop until he was 30. Then for 3 years, he was an itinerant preacher. He never owned a home. He never wrote a book. He never held an office. He never had a family. He never went to college. He never put his foot inside a big city. He never traveled 200 miles from the place he was born. He never did one of the things that usually accompany greatness. He had no credentials but himself. While still a young man, the tide of popular opinion turned against him. His friends ran away. One of them denied him. He was turned over to his enemies. He went through the mockery of a trial. He was nailed upon a cross between two thieves. And while he was dying, his executioners gambled for the only piece of property he had on earth, his coat. When he was dead, he was laid in a borrowed grave through the pity of a friend. 19 long centuries have come and gone, this man says, and today he is a centerpiece of the human race and leader of the column of progress. I am far within the mark when I say that all the armies that ever marched, all the navies that were ever built, all the parliaments that ever sat, and all the kings that ever reigned, put together, have not affected the life of man upon this earth as powerfully as has that one solitary life. Amen. And the Word of God puts it this way, Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 to 11 says this, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself yet again, and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore God has also highly exalted him, and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven, and of those on earth, and of those under the earth. Oh, hallelujah. That every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. Glory to God. Who knows, Jesus went as low as he could go on purpose. Jesus went as low as he could go on purpose in order to achieve the maximum bounds. Hallelujah. Amen. So how do you succeed in ministry? In fact, what is ministry? Well, ministry is from the Greek word diakoneo, which means to serve. Or another word, douleo, something like that, meaning to serve as a slave. In the New Testament, ministry is seen as service to God and to other people in God's name, in the name of Jesus. And who knows, Jesus provided us with a pattern for ministry. When he said this, he said that he had not come to serve. He had come to serve and not to be served. Got to get that right, amen. Hallelujah. It could make a big difference. Who knows, a lot of people, even within the church, people demand to be served. Whereas Jesus gave us the pattern for ministry when he said, I have not come to be served, but I have come to serve. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Who knows, some people measure success in ministry by the number of people they have in their church. And I believe numbers are important. Or should I say it, or put it this way, people are important. Who knows, you're not a number to God. You're an individual, precious, unique person. Amen? So it's not that numbers aren't important, but people are important. And the more the better. The more people, the better. Glory to God. Amen? I mean, a long time ago, I got weary of people saying to me, especially you know, when they hear that you pastor a relatively small church, they'll say something, try to comfort you maybe or something, or maybe they're in the same boat themselves, and they'll say, oh, well, God's not interested in numbers, you know, and they'll say something like, it's quality and not quantity that's the main thing, come on. I got weird of that years ago. And, you know, because, I mean, there may be an element of truth in the quality over quantity argument, but I remember many, many years ago at another island in this island chain, sitting in a pastor's house and talking to his wife and hearing her repeating the old favourite. I mean, we'd all said it over the years. You know, God's not interested in numbers. But when she said it, I remember sitting on their couch in their living room and there was an explosion in my spirit. And I leapt off the couch and I shouted, God is interested in numbers. He's not willing that any should perish. So that must apply to the more than 6 billion people alive on planet Earth right now. Glory to God. Amen. Just something just burst on the inside of me. I thought, I can use that excuse. I can apply that excuse. Or I can say, no, God is interested in every single last person. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. So what does the Word of God have to say on the subject of success? Because that's what we want to hear, isn't it? Amen. So I've got five things here that I've come up with that I believe can help us to achieve true success, even if it feels like we're failing. Number one. Say number one. Always give the Word of God first place in your life. Always give the Word of God first place in your life. Joshua chapter 1 verse 8 says, this book of the law, God speaking to Joshua, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. He says, for then, say for then. Say then. For then you will make your way prosperous. And then, say then. And then, when you allow the Word of God to be in your mouth continually, when you meditate in the Word of God day and night, when you observe to do according to all that is written in it, then you will have good success. Who knows that the Lord actually gave this advice to the new leader of a mega church. The new leader of a mega church who was about to transition his ginormous congregation to the next level of their spiritual journey. Who knows, that's never an easy task because people, and especially God's people, tend to resist change. Now I want to say this applies whether you've got a mega church or a micro church. Amen. But God actually gave this advice, as I said, to the brand spanking new leader. And the reality is that this new leader had taken over from the old leader who had been his mentor, who had failed to complete this transition. And yet God is saying to this new leader, if you will do it this way, you will have good success. You will have. You will prosper. Your way will be prosperous and you will have good success. So in order to succeed in ministry, it is essential, say it's essential, that we first of all recognize that we must never compromise God's Word. We must never dilute it, we must never compromise it, and that we must continually be diligent to hear and obey whatever God's Word instructs us to do at all times and in every circumstance if we are going to
succeed, if we're going to succeed.
When God says to Joshua, you will have good success, does that imply that there's bad success? I believe there is. I believe bad success is what we struggle to achieve any other way apart from God's way. Yeah. Who knows, there have been some apparently successful people who have proved what the proverb says, and surprise, surprise, in Proverbs 14:22, where it says that there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end of that way is death. There's a way to success that seems right to a man, but it always ends in death. So when God says you will have good success, he's implying there that there is bad success. And I believe that's absolutely the way it is. So if we want to succeed, we should always continue in the Word of God, continue to declare his Word over our lives, over our circumstances, and then, he says, you will have good success. The first thing we must do is always give the Word of God first place in your life. The second thing we must do is we must always give the Holy Spirit first place in your life. Hang on a minute. It's true, I did say you must give the Word of God first place in your life. But now we're also saying that the Holy Spirit must have first place in our lives. And they're not in competition with one another. In fact, they're in perfect agreement with one another. You see, the truth is that the Holy Spirit and the Word of God always work together if God's purposes are going to be fulfilled. And so if we're going to see his purposes fulfilled, and if we're going to succeed in ministry, and if we're going to see his will accomplished, we must not only give the Word of God first place in our lives, we must give the Holy Spirit first place in our lives. Acts chapter 1 verse 8, Jesus says to his disciples, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and then you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea. Who knows, these guys had just been fed the Word for 3.5 years. But Jesus says, don't even think about stepping out in ministry until you receive the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not only important that you give the Word of God first place in your life, but that you also give the Holy Spirit first place in your life. He says, then you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Who knows that God is a supernatural God? That his Word is a supernatural Word? That the gospel is a supernatural gospel? Come on, are we in agreement about that tonight? So although God's Word is a supernatural Word, without the power of the Holy Spirit, this is what Paul said. He said, that Word is dead letters on a page. It's the power of the Holy Spirit that brings the Word of God alive. I had a dream last night. I love one of them dreams that I love to have because I was preaching in it. She had to preach, and I was really impressed with the message as well. It was really good. But I remember, this is one of the things I was saying in the dream, you know, God's Word is a supernatural Word, and without the Holy Spirit, I can't remember, I was preaching better than this, I'll tell you. And it was like, wow. And I'm not sure that the people that were listening were all that impressed, but it was, you know, I knew I was standing in front of a pretty hostile group of people to some extent, but that was the message, you know, and I remember one time many years ago having one of these God dreams that are just so real that they stick with you and they never leave you, and when I think back on it, it's as real tonight as when it happened. And I remember I was in a room, but I was sitting kind of at the back of a room with a lot of ministers whom I knew from other different churches who maybe weren't so open to the Holy Spirit. And they were sitting around as I remember them doing when I was a young man, around the fire maybe on a Sunday night, having a cup of tea and having a chat. I wasn't really part of the conversation necessarily. I was kind of sitting at the back of the room. They were just sitting around the fireside talking about stuff, and one of them said, you know, folks are saying, you know, that the standard of preaching is going down. Another fellow said, the standard of preaching is not going down. The standard of preaching is as it always was. And at that point in the dream, as real as you can, I woke up shouting this. Katrina, of course, slept through it all. But I woke up and I was shouting, standard! The word of God says that when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up the standard and you will not allow him into your churches.
Thus endeth the dream. It was as real.
Without the power of the Holy Spirit, Paul said that even the supernatural word of God can be reduced to dead letters. He said it's the Spirit that gives that word life. It's the Spirit who brings that word of God alive. See, Jesus told his disciples, as I just said, these were guys who'd been well taught in the word. But he told them they were not to begin ministry until the fullness of the power of the Holy Spirit had come upon them. And if we are going to succeed in ministering locally, regionally, cross-culturally, and internationally, then we must give the Holy Spirit and the Word of God first place. Amen. Number three. Work hard. Work hard. Who knows building is hard work? Some people are lazy and they'll never succeed until they embrace hard work. Mark Twain said that the only place that success comes before work is in the dictionary. I'll just repeat that. He said the only place that success comes before work is in the dictionary. This applies in the church, in the kingdom, it applies in secular business, and applies just as much in kingdom business. Work hard. John 14 verse 12 says this, Jesus speaking, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works, say the works. Say the works. Like say it like you mean it, the works. The works that I do, he said, he will do also, and greater works, say works. Greater works, say works. It's not a swear word, come on, it's a blessed word, say works. Hallelujah. Greater works than these he will do because I go to my Father. You know that sometimes in ministry you'll have to burn the candle at both ends and in the middle. In fact, you may have to break it in two and then burn it at all four ends. If you want to succeed in ministry, ask Jesus about staying up all night to pray and then going straight into ministry to a crowd of a multitude of people. Ask Jesus about trying to catch up and lost sleep on a boat journey when your fear-filled disciples keep waking you up and then going straight into an encounter with the most demon-possessed man recorded in Scripture. Ask Jesus about that. Ask him about being weary from a long journey by foot and then having to fire up in prophetic evangelism to reach a lost woman who then introduced him to a whole city that needed saving. Ask Jesus about hard work. Ask Jesus about burning the candle at all four ends. Hallelujah. Amen. I was thinking about this just this morning. I thought, look at the guys that Jesus called as his disciples. Fishermen. Remember what they said one time? We've been out all night and we've caught nothing. Fishermen know how to stay up for days at a time because it's hard work being a fisherman. It's hard work being a tax collector. Do you know that? It's not easy getting taxes out of people, especially fishermen. Come on. It's hard. One of them was a zealot. Do you know what that means? That means that guy was so fired up, he never went out. Jesus knew what he was doing when he picked these guys. He picked people who knew how to work. Say, work hard. Turn that person next to you, say, work hard. If you want to succeed, work hard. Never take a break. Never take a holiday. Hallelujah. From the kingdom, work of the kingdom. Blessed be the name of the Lord. If you want to succeed. James chapter 2 verse 17 from the Amplified says this, so also faith, if it does not have works, deeds and actions of obedience to back it up, faith by itself is destitute of power. It is inoperative and dead. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Come on. I remember we had three businesses running. We had children. We had church. We had everything. All of that stuff going on. You needed to pull on all the grace that was available. But you know what? It was available. Hallelujah. Amen.
I've seen us being up for all night and having to go out and work again. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Over and over and over. If you want to succeed in ministry, you've got to work hard. Hard work. Hallelujah. Faith works. Say faith works. I'm not just trying to tell you, well, I'm just going to sit here and believe and it's all going to fall into my lap. You clown. Faith works. That faith isn't working. Wake up. I'll tell you why it's not working. Because faith works. Faith rolls up its sleeves and works. Hallelujah. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 verses 10 to 12 says, "For even when we were with you, we commanded you this. If anyone," say anyone, "will not work, neither shall he eat. For we hear that there are some who walk among you in a disorderly manner, not working at all, but are busybodies." I tell you, if you're not busy at your own business, you'll be busy in somebody else's. Because you were designed to be busy. You were created to be busy. You were created to be working. Hallelujah. If you're not busy in your own business, you'll be busy in somebody else's. Just as exactly as it was then, so it will be now. He goes on, he says, "Now those who are such we command and exhort." This is strong, strong language. "Those who are such we command and exhort through our Lord Jesus Christ that they work in quietness and eat their own bread." Hallelujah. Who knows that Proverbs, we could read through Proverbs and come out with many different examples of exhortations against laziness. "Go to the ant, you sluggard." Come on. That's strong language. Go and have a look at how the ant does it. How it orders its life. How it makes sure it's got a storehouse of food. Hallelujah. Paul says they walk in a disorderly manner. They're out of order, according to Paul. Because faith works. Who knows, there can be no success in ministry where there is no commitment to hard work. If you didn't know it, I'm telling you tonight. There can be no success in ministry where there is no commitment to hard work. If you've been working hard, some of us, you're sitting there going, "I've been working hard, but it looks like nothing's really happening. I've got very little to show for it." I've got good advice for you tonight. Keep working. And continue to believe. But don't believe if you're not working. And I'll tell you this, and I'll guarantee you this, your hard work will eventually pay off. Can't give you a date. Can't give you a time, but I'll tell you, it will eventually pay off, because the Word of God says this, Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, "Let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart." Hallelujah. And I'll just finish that point with this statement, work hard and keep working hard for as long as it takes. I said, work hard. Turn that person and say, work hard. There's no excuse for not working. There's no excuse for not working, and there's no excuse for not working hard. Whatever you get to put your hand to, the Bible says, do it with all of your might. Put everything that you have into it. Do everything that you do as unto the Lord. You're working for Him. Hallelujah. Amen. Whatever place of employment you are, if you don't have a place of employment, well, when I first read that scripture, I thought, Lord, I will never be unemployed. Because if you tell me that I should work, I'm coming to you. If I ever lose my job, I'm coming to you and saying, where's my job? Because you're saying I should be working, so I'll be working. I don't care what kind of work it is. I'm believing you'll bless me with something good. But I'll just take whatever's going, and that'll be my stepping stone into something better. Hallelujah. And that'll be my stepping stone into something better. And then that'll be my stepping stone. And eventually we'll get to the best. Hallelujah. Blessed be. But I will work, and I will work, and I will work, and I will work, because your word tells me to work. So I don't care if unemployment is running as high as it's ever run. I want my job. I want my opportunity to work. Hallelujah. And I'll work hard. Hallelujah. Because I ain't taking for granted the work that you give me to do. Hallelujah. Amen. If you want success in ministry or anything else, glory to God, you've got to work hard. Hallelujah. Amen. Number four. You'll be glad to hear. We're moving on.
Don't ever quit. One fellow said this, success seems to be largely a matter of hanging on after others have let go. So don't quit when it gets tough. Don't even begin to consider to quit when it starts to cost you something. When it becomes very costly to you, don't even think about quitting then. The price of quitting is much higher than the price of continuing to invest in what you're doing. Don't quit when your Sanballats and Tobias show up. Or people come telling you that what you're doing is not worth the effort. Or that it's unnecessary. Nehemiah 6 verse 3, Nehemiah says this, I sent messengers to them saying, I am doing a great work. He said, I am doing a great work so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease while I leave it and go down to you? Oh, hallelujah. One fellow told me a couple of years ago, he says, you're just splashing about in your own little puddle. I said to him, I'd rather splash than do nothing. If all I'm doing is standing in my own little puddle, I'm going to splash and I'm going to keep that puddle moving. Hallelujah. I'm going to give that puddle some work. Amen. I'm going to do some work while I'm in that puddle. Look, come on. Hallelujah. People who quit never succeed. But those who never quit cannot fail. So they will eventually succeed. Amen. Albert Schweitzer said this. Success is not the key to happiness. Happiness is the key to success. If you love what you are doing, you will be successful. Nehemiah brought us that revelation as well, that the joy of the Lord is our strength. I want to tell you, the work of the kingdom may be hard work, but it's always exciting. And it's always rewarding. Amen. Psalm 1 verses 1 to 3 from the Amplified says this, blessed, happy, fortunate, prosperous, and enviable is the man who walks and lives not in the counsel of the ungodly, following their advice, their plans and purposes, nor stands submissive and inactive. Say inactive. Nor stands submissive and inactive in the path where sinners walk, nor sits down to relax and rest where the scornful and the mockers gather. But his delight and desire are in the law of the Lord, and in his law, the precepts, the instructions and the teachings of God, he habitually meditates, ponders and studies. Remember what Paul said to Timothy? You've got to be a good workman, Timothy. You've got to be a hard worker in the Word. Hallelujah. You've got to be a good workman. He goes on and says, he habitually meditates, ponders and studies by day and by night. And he shall be like a tree planted and tended by the streams of water, ready to bring forth its fruit in its season. Its leaf also shall not fade or wither, and everything he does shall prosper and come to maturity. Hallelujah. Dale Carnegie said this, people rarely succeed unless they have fun in what they are doing. That's why Jesus said, I've come that they might have and enjoy life. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Glory to God. John 15, verses 8 to 14, again from the Amplified, says, when you bear and produce much fruit, my Father is honored and glorified, and you show and prove yourselves to be true followers of mine. I have loved you, just as the Father has loved me. Abide in my love. Continue in his love with me. If you keep my commandments, if you continue to obey my instructions, you will abide in my love and live on in it, just as I have obeyed my Father's commandments and live on in his love. I have told you these things, that my joy and delight may be in you, and that your joy and gladness may be of full measure and complete and overflowing. This is my commandment, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. No one has greater love. No one has shown stronger affection than to lay down and give up his own life for his friends. You are my friends if you keep on doing, if you keep on doing the things which I command you to do. I want to tell you this evening, never quit. And stay in love, and you can never fail, because love never fails. Hallelujah. Those who love God will be working when he comes. Hallelujah. Amen. I said, those who love God will be working when he comes. They'll be busy in the kingdom. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Number 5, last one. Always remember that it is through faith and patience
that we inherit the promises, according to Hebrews chapter 6, verse 12. Now, I'm going to give you refer to a quote here that I'm sure most of you have heard. I've heard it many times now. But what really started to irk me a wee bit, or irritate me, or trouble me maybe, I'm not sure, because down in the spirit, man, because everybody usually laughs and goes, ha-ha, that's right, amen, when they hear it. But my spirit man was never comfortable with it, particularly in church. I've often heard people say, and you probably have too, that the definition of insanity is to keep on doing the same thing over and over again and expect different results. As I said, I've heard preachers say it, and usually everyone laughs, but I told you about how I felt about it, so you were a little bit more guarded there probably. Have you heard that saying?
Yeah.
Never heard it? Heard it many times, many times. But I want to tell you, it's never made any sense to me. And it wouldn't have made any sense to Abraham either. In fact, it wouldn't make sense to anyone who lives by faith. Romans chapter 4, verses 18 and 21, again from the Amplified, says, "For Abraham, human reason for hope being gone, hoped in faith that he should become the father of many nations, as he had been promised. So numberless shall your descendants be. He did not weaken in faith when he considered the utter impotence of his own body, which was as good as dead because he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's deadened womb. No unbelief or distrust made him waver, doubting the question concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong and was empowered by faith as he gave praise and glory to God, fully satisfied and assured that God was able and mighty to keep his word and to do what he had promised." Hallelujah. One fellow put it this way. He said, "Success is the sum of small efforts repeated day in and day out." Another fellow said it this way. "Find out what God wants you to do and keep doing that and nothing else for a long, long, long time." Find out what God wants you to do and keep doing that and nothing else for a long... Don't get sucked away by this fad and that fad and this trend and that trend in the church. This big shot and that big shot. Don't get sucked away by any of these things. Don't be diverted by any of these things. Find out what God wants you to do and keep doing it for a long, 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 long time. And if people say the definition of insanity is to keep doing the same thing and expect different results, just keep doing it anyway. See, what God has said is what God will do. What God has said is what God will do. But I want to tell you, if what God has said doesn't have hard work attached to it, God didn't say it. Let me just put that little bit of insight in there for you. If what God has said doesn't have hard work attached to it, God didn't say it. If I could do it in my own strength, I wouldn't need God. That means what I'm called to do must be bigger than me. Bigger than my human strength. Bigger than my human ability. Bigger than my human intellect. Bigger than my human capacity to understand things. It must be bigger, or I don't need God. Paul said, "I can do all things through Christ." If I could do it myself, I wouldn't need him. I wouldn't need his wisdom. I wouldn't need his power. I wouldn't need his strength. Come on. Who knows that whatever God calls us to do, there will be circumstances that are out with our control. And so we must allow the fruit of patience. See, the fruit of patience. It's a fruit of the Holy Spirit. It's something you don't have of in and of yourself. We don't have that Holy Spirit patience. But he provides it for us. And its purpose is to cancel out the waiting time. However long it takes, however long we're doing the same thing over and over and over again because it's what God said to do. The fruit of the patience that the Holy Spirit produces in us will cancel out the waiting time as we continue to live in the now of God's word. Hallelujah. Come on. Who knows that nothing can become more tiresome in the natural than doing something that seems not to be producing results? But that's not how faith views it. I want to tell you, Joshua and Caleb didn't wander in the wilderness for 40 years. Every step they took was a step of faith. Every step they took was a step closer to the promised land. Hallelujah. They weren't wandering, but everybody else around them was just wandering around in a cycle of failure. But every step they took was a step of faith. And patience cancelled out the journey. Hallelujah. 40 years they were waiting. And what they knew that, I don't know whether it'll be this step or the next step that'll take me in. But I know that one day I'll step across that Jordan into the promised land. Because God's promised it. I received that promise. And I will not let go of that promise until it is fulfilled in my life. Hallelujah. Come on. We don't have to jump impatiently from church fad to church fad. Or from movement to movement. Or we has to do is stand on God's word and refuse to be moved. Because I want to tell you folks, that's what honors God.
Yeah.
And He will always honor those who honor Him. Those who flit about and jump from here to there and are pulled here and there. Oh, something's happening. Oh, pull them up. Do them. Blah, blah. They never do anything. They never create anything. They're never responsible for moving anything forward. They're consumers, not producers. The Bible called us not to consume fruit, but to produce fruit.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Come on. We're not fruit eaters, we're fruit growers. We're fruit producers. Hallelujah. I want to see the fruit you produce, I get blessed.
Yeah.
And the fruit that's produced in your life, Joe, I get blessed. I get to taste and see that the Lord is good. When you're patient with me. When you're impatient with me, it's a different story. But when you're patient with me, I get to taste and see. Because I need people to be patient with me. And when that fruit is produced in your life, in your relationship with me, then I get to taste and see that the Lord is good.
Yeah.
And you get to eat that fruit from me. But I don't produce fruit so I can eat my own fruit. Hallelujah. I produce fruit so you can feast on it. You produce fruit so I can feast on it. So I can be blessed by it. Do you understand what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
We're not supposed to run around chasing anything. We're supposed to be led by the Holy Spirit, giving the Word of God first place, giving the Holy Spirit first place. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. I talk to a lot of people, and I talk to a lot of good people that are badly wrong sometimes. They have a zeal, but it's a misguided zeal. They have a desire, but it's a desire that's been diverted after the wrong things, after the wrong stuff. The one thing that they fail over and over and over again to recognize is that you can't fail if you don't quit. That it doesn't matter what it looks like, it doesn't matter how things appear. That if you've taken hold of what God is doing and you're working hard at it, then you can't fail. Amen? I'll never forget, 1991, the Lord took me up, Ben Bragger, for the first time. He took me up. He told me to go. Hallelujah. And as I climbed to the top of that hill, he even told me the path to take. And he led me to a place at the bottom where I went in a straight line right to the very top. I knew it was right at the top because there was Ordnance Survey triangulation points up there. And he took me right directly to that summit. Beautiful day, beautiful sunny day. He said, look around you. I looked around. I could see all through the island in different directions. He said, I'm giving this to you.
Yeah.
I'm giving this to you. Go in and possess it. I'll tell you, that's a word that goes down in here. See, on the way up, I disturbed a grouse. This grouse took off and the Lord spoke to me and says, the days of grousing are over. Days of complaining are over. On the way back down from that encounter, a hare took off. was changing colour from its winter white to its summer brown. He said, the Lord spoke to me and he said, you know something? He said, that hair has got a message for you. Winter is over and summer is coming. Hallelujah. Amen. Do you know how many years ago that was? 22 years ago. Just a few weeks ago, maybe a couple of months ago, I saw that the same thing happened again. A hair crossed the road in front of me. At the same place of transition, the Lord said, see, I told you. Amen. That first time I climbed Ben Braggart, I remember I climbed it with a guitar in one hand and my 3-year-old son in the other hand. No mean feat. Hallelujah. And a couple of biscuits for the journey. I got to the top of the hill. I took my guitar out of its case and I began to sing, what's that song again? About one of them old songs about lift Jesus higher or something. Well, no, it wasn't that, but it was a song. And I took my first strum and the guitar string broke. So I thought, I may as well just put my guitar back in the case. No, I said, we'll do it with 5 strings. Yeah. Hallelujah. We did it with 5 strings. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You can't fail if you won't quit. If you'll keep working hard at what God told you to do. Amen. If you'll keep just pressing in and stop allowing things to divert you here and people saying, you need this and you need that and you need the other thing. Sorry, I don't. I need to stay in that place with my God where I'm putting His Word first place in my life. Where I'm allowing the Holy Spirit to have first place in my life. Amen. Where I've determined that I will work hard at what God has given me to do. And that I will never quit. And that I will always remember that it's through faith and patience. See, Jesus spent 3.5 years. You know what he was doing primarily? I know he had the opportunities to speak to multitudes and to minister to multitudes, but you know what he was doing primarily? He was pouring his life into 12 men. 12 men. I said 12 men. That's all, 12. And one of them opted out. He ministered to others, but his main focus was discipling those men who would be responsible for taking over from him and taking this gospel to the ends of the earth. Ensuring that it reached the ends of the earth. Paul said to Timothy, the same words that I've spoken to you in the presence of many witnesses, make sure it's the same words.
Yeah.
Not so-and-so's words or the other guy's words or some super apostle that blew in last week. No, the same words, Timothy, that I've committed to you. Make sure you commit these same words to other faithful men. Don't make do by slipping in a book like somebody else wrote. The same words. That I committed to you, make sure the same words are passed on to other faithful men who will be able to teach others the same words also.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. That's Paul looking after 4 generations of the church.
Right.
Just like that. 4 generations of believers, just like that. Hallelujah. Jesus' primary focus for 3.5 years was pouring into the lives of 12 men. Remember, the measure of success is how high you bounce when you hit the bottom. Who knows that Peter could have quit and walked away after he denied Jesus? Come on. Couldn't he? But he was a man that out of his spirit had the revelation that where else can I go? He was a man that in his spirit had the revelation that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And even although Peter felt pretty dreadful in his flesh regarding how he had denied Jesus, when that day he was on the boat and Jesus is on the shore making breakfast, Peter leaps out of the boat. That's my Lord. Hallelujah. Yes, I've fallen. Yes, I hit the bottom when I denied him not just once and not just twice, but 3 times, even to the point of cursing and denying that I ever knew him or had anything to do with him. Yes, I hit the bottom, but watch me bounce.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. That's my Lord. I don't know what he's going to say to me. I don't know how he's going to act with me, but I'm going to make sure that I get to him. Hallelujah. Come on. he becomes the guy that stands up and preaches the first sermon of the brand new church. And 3,000 people get hooked. Hallelujah. Jesus said, I will make you fishers of men. Hallelujah. Amen. Maybe you feel like you've hit the bottom. Maybe you think you're a ministry failure. Well, I've got one piece of advice and counsel to admonish you with tonight. Get ready to bounce. Get ready to bounce. I said, get ready to bounce. Because if you won't quit, you can't fail. Maybe your failure has pulled you away a little bit from the Lord. You've got to be like Peter and get out of the boat. Maybe you've gone back to indulging more in the secular and in the worldly. And you've lost your vision for the kingdom. Remember, Peter was the one that said, I'm going fishing. Come on. His soul was telling him, you're a failure. But when he saw Jesus, he recognized me. He thought, that's Jesus. That's Jesus. I want to tell you, good success is waiting. If you just bounce. Get ready to bounce. Listen to what it says. I think Ali read some of these verses this morning, and we're going to finish with them tonight in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. Therefore then, say then, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses who have borne testimony to the truth, again from the Amplified Bible, let us strip off. You know what Peter did? He stripped off and jumped into the water. That's what it says. He stripped off. He stripped off, he'd put his fisherman's uniform back on, and he stripped it off. And he jumped out of the boat into the water. He says, I'm going to get to Jesus. That's my Jesus. Strip off and throw aside every encumbrance, unnecessary weight, and that sin which so readily, deftly, and cleverly clings to and entangles us. And let us run with patience. Endurance and steady and active. I want to see people hear the word endurance, they go, oh yes. I could put in there with patient enjoyment and I wouldn't remove any of the meaning of that. Hallelujah. Because the joy of the Lord is your strength to endure. And Bible language, enjoy and endure are the same word. Because you'll only ever be able to endure in joy. Somebody help me. Somebody say amen or something. Come on. Run with patient endurance and steady and active persistence the appointed course of the race that is set before us, looking away from all that will distract to Jesus, who is the leader and the source of our faith, giving the first incentive for our belief and is also its finisher, bringing it to maturity and perfection. He, for the joy of obtaining the prize that was set before him, endured the cross, despising and ignoring the shame, and is now seated. He didn't embrace the shame of the cross. And he's not asking you to embrace the shame of your failure. He's asking you to abandon your failure and bounce back. Hallelujah. And run to him. Glory to God. He's longing to restore you just like he restored Peter. Hallelujah. He didn't put him in the background. He said, Peter, I know something's happened in your heart now. You're going to be the guy that's going to stand up. When the Holy Spirit comes, you're going to preach that first sermon. You're going to see my power and my glory. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Endured the cross, despising and ignoring the shame, and is now seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Just think of him who endured from sinners such grievous opposition and bitter hostility against himself. Reckon up and consider it all in comparison with your trials, so that you may not grow weary or exhausted losing heart and relaxing and fainting. Listen to what it says, in your mind. Your spirit never gives up. Your spirit, man, never gets weary. God has put a resource in here that never runs out, that never runs dry, that never gets tired. That's how Jesus, after his body and his flesh was weary, he could recharge. He just drew on the resource of what was in his spirit, and he was straight back into ministry again. Come on. Even although the Bible tells us he was physically weary, he drew on the resources of heaven that were in his spirit. Hallelujah. He drew on the connection with the heaven, with heaven's glory, and he ministered out of the glory. Is there any other way to minister? No, of course there isn't. Not if it's going to be effective. One old preacher I used to listen to over the years, man, he said, Noah was the most successful preacher that ever lived. He said he saved six and damned the rest. He said, not one of these people in that flood had any doubt as to what was happening. He saved six that heard his message, and the rest of them were in no doubt as to why they were drowning. You don't make people's decisions for them. Amen? Glory to God. Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. As it was in the days of Lord, so shall it be. We are here, we have been given a message, and we've been told, preach this. We've been given a message of righteousness, that God does not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to a place of repentance and life and embrace the truth. And that's what we've been given to do. Don't divert from that. Don't run here or run there or run anywhere else, and stop sucking on stuff that you don't even have a clue where its source is. And get home and put God's word first place in your life. Put the Holy Spirit first place in your life. And work hard. Roll up your sleeves and work with all and everything that's within you. Whether you're in full-time ministry or not, if you're not, you need to repent. Doesn't matter whether you're working in the hospital or whether you're working in the surgery, whether you're working in the tourist office, whether you're working with the children in whatever it is, in them initials, NCH. Doesn't matter where you are. Doesn't matter what you're doing or where you're working, whether you're working in Red Cross Shell. Doesn't matter where you're working. You're in full-time ministry. You're doing it as unto the Lord. And if you're not working, you need to get some work somewhere that puts you out there. Hallelujah. Amen? Come on. Hallelujah. Because God wouldn't say that you should work if he hasn't got a job. He's liable. Yeah. Amen? Glory to God. We don't retire. All preachers don't retire. They just get promoted. Hallelujah. We are here to preach. We are here to preach, 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 preach that God loves people. That he has a plan for their lives, for them to succeed. Hallelujah. For them to prosper in his kingdom. To prosper in the things of God. To prosper in the way of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Good success belongs to us. That's our inheritance. Do you believe that tonight? Good success. Not bad success. Good success. That's our inheritance. Our divine destiny is to prosper according to God's plans for us, which are never for evil and are always for good. They're never for evil and they're always for good. Let's stand up together. Hallelujah. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. For your wisdom. I thank you for your supernatural power and anointing. That, Lord, that your blessing that comes upon us and empowers us to prosper. Hallelujah. Lord, when we embrace your way, when we embrace the kingdom way, when we embrace the strategy of the kingdom, hallelujah, when we choose to put your word first, to put your Holy Spirit, to give your Holy Spirit first place in our lives, when we choose to work hard and to never quit, and to always remember that it's through faith and patience that we will surely inherit all that you have promised. Father, we embrace your love. We embrace your word. We embrace your spirit. We embrace your kingdom. We invite you, Lord. God to recharge us, to redirect us, to help us to refocus. Lord, we choose to respond tonight from our spirits, just like Peter, when he saw you on the shore that day, that morning, said, "That's my Jesus." And he looked away from everything else, and he stripped off that old fisherman suit that he'd put back on, and he leapt out, and he made sure that he was in your presence as fast as his little legs could carry him. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity to live continually in your presence, where there is fullness of joy, where there is pleasure, excitement forevermore, not for the lazy, but for those who are engaged in the work of your kingdom. Lord, if we've been lazy, Lord, I recognize I probably have a natural inclination to laziness. Lord, I invite you to stir me up, to stir me up, to stir me up for your kingdom, to stir me up for the things of God, for the things, Lord, that are of eternal significance. That we might see your kingdom come and your will done. That we might see your glory in all of its fullness, in all of its manifestation. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Hallelujah. Amen.